You're listening to The Place Where Sports Opinions Collide. I am your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me on the line is BZ430. B, what up?
What up? What up? What up? What's good? You don't hear no feedback or nothing on my microphone, do you?
Nah, man. Nah. Okay. Your mic is on and it sounds good. Speaking of, make sure y'all check out the Is the Mic Still On podcast. check that out. Got a new one coming to you tomorrow. So talking about babies, if you want to believe it or not, it was a crazy discussion. But also joining us is FIFO. FIFO, what up?
FIFO under the weather.
Yo. No. I am. But you know, I be putting y'all on mute, man, because I be having stuff going on in the background.
Nah, I hear you. And that laugh you guys heard earlier is a show that, you know, we've been telling you guys to check out for a couple of weeks now. Chris Platty, what up?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
What's going on, man?
Chilling. Tell the folks your podcast, man, and what you do.
All right, man. I didn't want to come off too thirsty with the plug, but I appreciate that.
No, man, go ahead. Plug it up.
Yeah, I'm Chris Platty. I have a hip hop and an NBA podcast that is partnered and sponsored by yours truly, Dead End. So support to them and shout to them for showing me love. But yeah, you can find it on iTunes. You can find it on my Twitter, which is at Real Chris Platty, ChrisPlatte. And again, you can find it by searching iTunes, just Strictly Hip Hop and Strictly Hoop Talk. Those are the names of the show. Pretty self-explanatory. I just talk hip hop and basketball. That's what's up.
Yep. All right, cool. Appreciate you being on. Obviously, as you guys can tell, this will be a very basketball heavy show. We are wrapping up the end of the NBA season. So we got games today, and tomorrow is the end of the regular season, and then we'll get our what we're gonna do is basically wait until the bracket is set. So the field is set in terms of playoff matchups, and then we'll drop a separate show after that, just giving you our picks on the first round matchup. So that'll be coming later this week. But right now we're just gonna delve into a lot of other hot topics that's permeating through the NBA right now. But before we get into that, make sure you guys check out the Technical File podcast with Manny, who's been on the show. Real cool brother, man, so check him out. Forgive him, he's a Duke fan, so don't hold that against him. Also check out the homie 12, the 12 Kyle podcast as well. He be putting out some dope content. And Dead in Hip Hop, man, Dead in Hip Hop, subscribe to the channel. And and check out the website. The writers be putting out some good stuff there. We got Cardi B. The Cardi B review is coming. And if you heard this, you know, sometime later, then go to deadandhiphop.com and check out what we have to say there. We had a special guest, Sophie. Sophie joined us for that one. And people out there, we did the Kanye West bracket. That's dropping probably this week too. So I got to get my info over to Rod so we can have that ready. So yeah, a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff coming for you guys. So check it out, deadandhiphop.com. As I mentioned earlier, we're heading into the playoffs, man. It's been a long season. It's been a season full of a lot of headlines, a lot of drama surrounding Cleveland, as usual. LeBron James, the Warriors ended up in some drama, and the Thunder. The Sixers are making news. We got some back and forth right now between Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons. We're going to get into that a little bit later on. But right now we're focused on the playoffs. So we're going to look ahead to the playoffs. And basically, let's kick the show off with this. Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors are struggling without Steph Curry. Since Steph Curry's been hurt, I think they've lost 9 of 12 or something along those lines. You know, we don't fact check. They're not winning. They have a losing streak without Steph Curry. There is a possibility that they will match up with Russell Westbrook in the first round, ladies and gentlemen, a matchup I want to see. We also have James Harden, the probably soon to be MVP James Harden, who's having a fantastic season. But we all know what people say about him and what people have been saying all year long. So I want to put this question out here because we've talked about it a little bit on this show, but we haven't really talked about pressure, especially when it comes to Durant without Curry. Who has more pressure on them heading into the playoffs, be Durant or James Harden?
I say James Harden. Fact that he's the number one seed. You know, of course, I think a lot of people, including myself, was assuming, you know, healthy, that a Golden State was going to lock up the number one seed and was going to cruise to the NBA Finals or whatever. So with Harden having a regular season that he's having, like you mentioned, on his way to what looked like it's going to be an MVP year, he's going to win the MVP award, number one seed, and, you know, the majority of, like, basketball fans and media, what I've always been saying about James Harden, like, you have outstanding regular seasons, but when the brights get light in the postseason, when it matters the most, we've seen James Harden go on milk cartons. So I think in my opinion, I think it's easily James Harden that has the most pressure, because it's kind of like, okay, you got CP3, you got someone that got that dog in him, you know, that's also has a lot of failures in the playoffs. He hasn't even sniffed the Western Conference Finals. So, you know, now you got him, you add him to your team. You know, it seemed like y'all clicking at the right time. Y'all all healthy. You know, everyone is pretty much healthy going into the postseason. And, you know, everything seems to be going James Harden's way so far this season. The way it looked like it seemed like it's going to carry on to the postseason. So, yeah, it's going to be pressure. We're going to be like, look, if James Harden, and I kind of judge players on this, like, if you as great as you are, this is seasons you need to kind of get over that hump. You got to take out Golden State Warriors. If they healthy or not, this is your chance. Like, this is the best chance for you to get rid of Golden State Warriors. You know what I'm saying? If y'all end up facing them in the Western Conference Finals, and they might be even more banged up than what they are now, because, you know, the playoffs are going to be a fight. So this is your best chance. If you cannot get past, if you can't get to the finals this year going against this Golden State squad, if y'all happen to meet up in the Western Conference Finals and James Harden, well, especially if James Harden don't step up. If James Harden is playing ball and he's balling and he's doing all that, whatever, okay, that's a different story. But if we seen James Harden go into just on the missing, like we be looking for him. And if he goes into that mode again, after winning the MVP and after getting the one seed in the West, having home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs, and you guys don't execute or at least get to the finals. If you don't at least get to the finals, I think is that he has to at least get to the finals. I ain't going to say he got to win it, but he got to at least get to the finals. Then, yeah, people going to be questioning him. I guarantee you, if he comes out and goes missing in this postseason, people are definitely going to question this dude. I'm pretty sure a lot of people on this podcast will, and also other NBA and basketball fans across the world, across the globe, is going to be like, is James Harden really that dude? I mean, he has a great regular season. He put up great numbers, but he never step up when it matters. And that's when you can determine the good from the great to the legendary players, is when they have to step up when it matters the most, the playoffs, the postseason. So, yeah, for me, it's James Harden. There's no question.
Platy,
all right with that. You know, I go back and forth because both in this context, both of them have a lot of pressure. Like, you know, KD is, you know, part of this Warriors, like almost this empire of the NBA, and in some ways, that's how some people look at the team. And James Harden, for all the reasons B you just pointed out, is very right. So I think though I'm gonna lean the Warriors, because even without Curry, the Warriors are still looked at as better by a lot of people than a lot of teams. And you know, whether that's true or not, I think some people are overlooking just how important Steph Curry is to the Warriors. I think some people are just too relaxed when it comes to the Warriors, and they should be on a little bit higher of an alert. But yeah, I just I think KD has more to lose in this situation, because the Warriors are, again, kind of like this empire of the NBA, and they're looked at, and, you know, everybody, like, we're almost two years removed from KD's decision, and people are still, you know, doing that meme of my next chapter. Like, the Warriors hate, as much as people love them, there's also a large, large group that is ready to turn on them, ready to pounce on them anytime they fail. So I think that KD and the Warriors have a lot of pressure on them, but, you know, I'm not going to be mad at anybody who says Harden, because you're right. Harden being the MVP, having all this success, and having the questions, the postseason questions that he has, which KD doesn't have, is also cause for concern as well.
What do you think, FIFO?
For me, man, look, it has to be Harden. It has to be Harden, because the last couple of years he's felt slighted in the MVP voting. Last year, Russ had a triple. He averaged a triple double. Isn't it interesting that I believe in the last game, if he gets, I think, something like 16 triple doubles, or I mean triple doubles, 16 rebounds, he'll average a triple double for the year again.
Yeah,
and he's nowhere in the MVP conversation.
That's interesting.
Also, I think it's James Harden, because this is the year for him to get it. This has to be the year. And I think the other layer of pressure is, if you see Golden State not healthy, if they are not 100%, and you lose to them, how do you like, what weight does that MVP have? You know what I'm saying? Is James Harden, to me, will be forgotten in NBA history. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to put him up there. I just believe that, because here's the thing. He's not great defensively. You know, he puts up all these numbers, but you got to win. You know what I'm saying? I think he could be like our Mitch Richmond. Mitch Richmond made the Hall of Fame, but do we talk about him as one of the greatest two guards to play? Nah. He averaged 17, 18 points a game, made the Hall of Fame. Definitely James Harden is going to make it. But I think that especially now, because now it's prime. He has CP. He has the system. He's had the system, right? He's proven to flourish in that system. And you have the best team in the NBA that is top five all time. When healthy, that's a top five all NBA team. They could go up against anybody in the history of the league. And he loses to those guys that are hurt? That's not good. So just like B, I agree, he has to get to the finals this year. If Golden State is not 100%, he has to make it to the finals. Whether he wins or loses doesn't matter, but he can now put on his resume, he got his team to the finals. Because it's not CP's team. This is James Harden's team. And then James Harden, like, he has to put weight on that MVP trophy. Like, right now, I just think if he gets it, it's extremely hollow. He has to put weight to it.
You know, I came into this leaning towards Durant, mainly because, you know, if you lose to Westbrook, what does it all mean? Because he got one chip though,
and he was the guy.
But you're still the guy now. You're still the
guy
now.
But it's different. But Clay's hurt. Draymond's hurt. Steph's hurt. It's different.
As the guy, as the second best player to some best player, at least they were when he came into the. You know, he was when we came into the season to a lot of
He's
folks.
Their best player, not their most important player. There's a difference. Steph is their most important player.
I don't know if I would hold him against him as hard as I would Harden not making it to the finals. But there is a side eye. Like, you lose Curry and you're not good enough to beat the Thunder without him. So everything we've talked about heading into that season after he made his decision kind of resurfaces again, where we're saying, hey, man, you went to a 73-9 team to make life easier for yourself and to lean on Curry's back. And when Curry go out, you could even get them past the first round. Like, I don't know. I think there's something to be said about that. And I understand there are a lot of pieces hurt, you know, on that team, and they're limping. So I don't know, but I'm listening.
How is that pressure, though? How is that pressure?
You cannot. Raph, you know he can't lose to Westbrook.
But in the first round. But he has an out though. That's all I'm trying to say.
You don't get an out. You're Kevin Durant's second best player.
But KD's been getting a pass for damn near 10 years.
And we're gonna give him another one.
I'm one of the very few people with a voice out here on the internet that talks down about KD, especially even in crunch time. You know that. It's recorded. Go check it out. But KD is, in this instance, I will give him a pass because it's not just about him. He has two or three guys out, bro. That's a lot. That's a big part of the squad. He came here, yes, for it to be easier, but he needs those guys for it to be easier. Now he's carrying a lot. They're struggling, right? But so is OKC to some degree. You know, so if he goes out, he has an out. Look, man, I was finals MVP. You know what I'm saying? I already won one my first year here. We're hurt this year. If I come back again, I guarantee we win if we're healthy. That's all he can say. Like he has an out. If OKC, like if James Harden doesn't make the final, it's more pressure for him. I think who gets more questions, right? If KD loses in the first round or James Harden loses to Golden State in the second round, who gets more questions after the series?
I think we'll talk about KD more. I think we will talk about KD more. Nobody's saying James Harden is not even like third best player in the league. He's not even in the conversations, if you ask me. He's just a great player. So we'll look at it like same old James Harden, doing the same old thing he's always done. And we'll throw and he drug Chris Paul into it with him. Or we'll say this is what we expected from both of them. But
So let's clear the air. My expectations are for James Harden to rise to the occasion, show why he was the MVP, put some weight to that trophy, and for CP to redeem himself because he has had small blunders, small like minuscule mistakes that came up and bit him in the butt, and he just lost. So you know, it's like he played great for 94% of the game. That 6%, they just lost the game in that 6%. So it's kind of unfair, but it is what it is. I expect for both of those guys to take it personally and get to the finals, especially if Golden State's hurt. We're the number one team. We have the MVP. We arguably, in CP's mind, we have the best pure point guard in the league. We got guys. We got Joe. We got 3 points. We got a chance, especially if Golden State's hurt. You don't make it that far, and they're the cause of it. Because they're pulling out their best DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry impersonation, then yeah, get them guys out of here. That's pressure. They know that. Both of those guys should know that. But I'm sorry, I digress.
No, it's all good because I think the more sensational story, or you know, the will be Harden. I mean, no, Durant losing to Westbrook, like that. People would eat that up, right? Clicks everywhere. But
yeah.
I'm watching, and you know, so I came into this, like I was saying, I came into this looking at this like, man, you just cannot lose. You cannot lose to Westbrook. You just can't lose to Westbrook. You got to show up, man. And you guys made such a strong argument, and your points were so great about Harden that I was leaning your way because I'm thinking about how they performed down the stretch. Now, they could be coasting. Because they've sewed up the number one seed and they're just ready to get to the playoffs. And that's fine. But what if these struggles are them being content with that? Remember, you know, I said on this program that and you did as well, FIFO. As a matter of fact, I think I basically back what you said. The MVP is his title. And James Harden could be satisfied with that. And going to the finals may not be his ultimate goal. You know, everybody want to say it, but he feels like he's been robbed the last 2 years, And to another point you made earlier, if he doesn't make it to the finals, he basically becomes Steve Nash. That's what he becomes, Steve Nash, a guy that had a great season that did nothing with it in the playoffs. So I think that him winning that MVP title would be enough for him to say this season was a success, probably behind closed doors. But with everything that went down with Westbrook and Durant breakup, Kevin Durant cannot lose to Westbrook in the first round. I'm going with Kevin Durant. I talked myself back into it. I'm going with Kevin Durant. Yeah, I'm going with Kevin Durant. Without Curry? Come on, man. Anyway, Westbrook, 16 rebounds to get another triple-double. You guys think he has a chance of doing that? You think they're going to clear the lanes and let him get all the rebounds?
They're 100% clearing the lanes.
Wow.
100%.
Oh, that's kind of lame. That's what I was going to ask.
They've been doing it. And, like, I've followed, you know, Thunder beat reporters and stuff, and they said, yeah, you know, like, it's on the low, but players have kind of, you know, confirmed it. They certainly haven't denied it that, you know, yeah, if Russ wants a rebound, we kind of just extend the arm, box out a little bit, and just kind of let him do his thing. He's gonna go for it. Westbrook is going to go for it. Like, I've always said this. Westbrook is a numbers chaser guy. It doesn't mean he's not good. Doesn't mean, you know, he's not still a good team player, but he does chase numbers. And this triple-double thing is something he really wants. And, you know, he's going to go for it. I would be shocked if he got less than 13 rebounds in his final game. Like, he's going to go for it.
I'm with B. That'd be lame. It wouldn't feel the same. It wouldn't feel the same. That'd be kind of whack. And maybe it won't make it as special as last year was, if that's what they did. But, you know, oh well.
Well, last year, if you remember, it was kind of the same situation, but with assists. He was very close to making the mark with assists, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it was entering like the final week, he had to get this many assists or something. So, so it's always come down to being close. And I agree, it is a lame thing. And it's part of the reason why I made the case for Harden, because what Harden was doing was so impressive last year. And I still maintain that I was right in saying Harden should have been the MVP last year. But Russ is doing what he did last year. I mean, it's same old to me. And to me, it doesn't really matter if he gets a triple-double or not. To me, like, I still think, I don't think 0.1, 0.2 away from a triple-double makes you any less of a player.
Yeah, that's true. So while we're talking about Westbrook, the Thunder, so they're in the playoffs, and I think they are a dangerous team when motivated. We've seen in stretches where they've looked pretty good. They started out terrible. And I think they finished the season. I can't remember 8-12 or something like that. It was a real horrible start. But they finished, like, if they win tomorrow, 40-22. So they turned it around. But they could possibly draw the Warriors, depending on how the matchups sort themselves out. You know, who knows who they will end up playing? I guess we have to wait and see. But I guess the question that I have, and what I'm wondering, is in spite of the tumultuous season that they've had, can they win it all? Like, Westbrook, Paul George, Melo, not Hoodie Melo. We kind of need Hoodie Melo. But what are their chances on winning it all? Do you guys give them a shot, FIFO? What do you think, man?
Honestly, the way that they've been playing, I don't think they can win at all.
You know what? Let's just say get to the finals. Let's just say get to the finals.
I don't think they can get to the finals. Yeah. And it's the same thing I've always said. Down the stretch, Westbrook makes certain mistakes that you just can't have. Bad shots. You know, just not making the right decision. And I think that that's always going to be his Achilles heel. Can he get a triple-double? Can he wow you? Can he make the spectacular? Can he make the clutch play? Can he win you games? Yes. All of those are yes. But he still makes those mistakes down the stretch that just cost you a game. And until he can prove on a consistent basis that his decision making is at a higher level, I don't know. I think he's the one person holding them back from making that. Obviously, you need Carmelo to be at a higher level. Paul George is obviously an all-star. He's picked it up. He's figured it out. But still, down the stretch, the ball is going to be in Westbrook's hand. And if you make key mistakes down the stretch, you will lose the game. You know, and it's crazy. Ken, I was telling you earlier how me and BV playing in this league. And last season, right, look, prime example. I follow a guy shooting a three. He misses two free throws. I come down. I get fouled shooting a three. I make two free throws. We're up one, right? He comes back down. I fouled him after I made my free throws, right? I cost us the game. I played a hell of a game. But I made two bonehead mistakes down the stretch that cost us, and then we didn't make the playoffs. That's what Westbrook does time and time again. And until he plays at a higher level in crucial moments, they won't win. They can't win.
You agree with that, B?
Yeah. I mean, that's always been like my main critique of Westbrook, like just since his career. Like, you know, besides him putting up godly numbers and stuff, I still just be like, you know, it's hard for me to rank him above certain point guards because he always make those you got to have good IQ, man. If you're the point guard, you have to have good IQ down the stretch throughout the game, you know, make the right plays all the time. And we've seen great PGs do that throughout the years. And it just seemed like Westbrook always make those bonehead plays. We'd be like, what are you doing? Why did you shoot that? Or why did you try to dribble between those two people? And you got still, you know, create a turnover. Like, why did you like, it's just like, but yeah, I don't give him a shot to make it to the finals. No, Ken, I don't give him a shot. Melo, wow, it's amazing how his career is taking a turn for the worse. And him and LeBron and D-Wade all came in the league the same time. And it seemed like he's like the wackest now out of all them three. It's amazing. I mean, it's so amazing. It's like, wow. It's like this, the way he's been looking certain times this season, it's like, man, at this point, he's a sixth man. Like, I don't even consider him a starter no more. And it's like, and it hurts me to say that because it was at certain points I was like, man, Melo is like, you know, the dopest offensive, you know, offensive player in the league. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, and Paul George, he's been straight this year too, but he ain't the Indiana Paul George or whatever. So I don't know. I don't know if it's just the playing with the Westbrook effect because we've seen this with Victor Oladipo. Soon as he leave OKC to Indiana, this dude is a freaking all-star, and he's looking like, you know, top two, top three best shooting guards in the league right now. So, yeah, I don't know if Paul George is getting hit with that effect. I have no idea. I know one thing, though. They definitely missing who's my man, the defensive guy that's out.
Roberson.
Yeah, Roberson. I think they're definitely missing him. I think he is really showing whoever his agent is, he should be trying to work on coughing up some more bread because he is definitely showing his value and his worth by him being missing. I think they're definitely missing him. So even just with that factor alone, I don't give him a shot of going to the finals. You know, if they be a seven seed, you end up playing Houston to Golden State, that'd be interesting. They might just end up being a first round exit, man. A first round exit, depending on the matchups, depending on who they face. If they still be a 7 or 8 seed, they're going to get out in the first round, man. It's going to be based on Ken think they might have a shot against Golden State. So, you know, I don't know.
B,
what up?
Think about it like this, right? You just said if they are a seventh seed, they will face the Warriors or the Warriors.
Warriors, right.
When the Warriors are gone, who are you left with? Just the Rockets. And we all have our doubts about the Rockets.
Don't sleep on Portland now. You just disrespecting Portland.
They've lost four straight. They lost heart.
Portland.
But understand, they also lost their small forward. I think he was playing small forward, Maurice Harkless, and they ain't been right since. they you know, and they're on a losing streak, you know. But all I'm saying is this. If they beat the Warriors, they're just left with the Rockets. And, yeah, you could throw in the Trailblazers if you want, but let's be honest, I think the path to the finals shrink with the top – with one of the top two teams out. And if the Rockets lose to somebody else in the field on the West, that's it. I think they could get there. Am I by myself, Platy?
Yeah, you by yourself.
Yeah, you by yourself. But I'll say, like, I understand where you're going, but I think those chances of what you're saying are very slim. Like, I would overwhelmingly, even with the Golden State roster looking how it is now, I'd still overwhelmingly take Golden State or Houston over Oklahoma. Despite, like you said, there are fair trepidations with Houston 100%, but I'd still take those two teams have been way better throughout the regular season. And Oklahoma City Thunder, like, you know, as much questions as we have about Houston and Golden State, like, OKC has had some, they've had some very up and down moments, you know, so they're not overall, they haven't really overall, like, found, it seems like every 10 games that their team identity and their level of play changes. You know, but like you said, it's interesting if they were to knock out one of them and then they only had to deal with one. I see what you're saying there. I just think those are two very highly unlikely scenarios. I also would not sleep on Portland. I know they've lost four straight, but I think they're a more consistent team throughout the year. San Antonio, we should have been, like, everybody's been doubting them forever, and they still find ways to win. Who knows? Maybe Kawhi comes back. I don't think so, but maybe. Minnesota, I know they also have their questions, but talent-wise, they have a better big three than OKC right now with the way Melo is playing. So, you know, I don't see OKC getting out of, they could get out of the first round, depending on who they're matched up. I think winnable series would be against San Antonio, New Orleans, Utah, or Portland. I think those are possibilities to win, but I still don't know if any of those series, if I have them as like an overwhelming favorite, I think they'd be a favorite in some of them, but not overwhelmingly.
Let's move to the East with another team that's, man, they're on a heck of a win streak, 14 straight, going for 15 straight. Now they're playing Atlanta right now at the time of this recording. They're up 109-104. Game's a little closer and tougher than they anticipated. And, wow, Utah is blowing out the Warriors. And y'all calling me crazy. And get out of here. anyway, back to Philly. 15 straight. We'll go ahead and pencil that in a win. Can they get to – and here's where – I'm not going to even say the Eastern Conference Finals, because I think we all can see them making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Let's say the finals. Let's just say the finals. Can Philly come out of the East? Platy.
No.
Can they do it, man?
Why not? I'm caping that they can get to the conference finals. I definitely think they can, the way the seeding's played out. If I'm Philly, I'm only worried about three teams, or actually cautious against three teams, and that's Toronto, Cleveland, and Washington. And it looks like they won't have to play two of those three till the conference finals, the way it shakes out. But you know what, man? Look, I'm not doubting LeBron. Like, the way you seen how they were down like 20-something at the half.
30.
And LeBron still 30, sorry. And
30 in
LeBron
the game.
Still
but yeah,
made it. Yeah, that. LeBron still made it a close game. Like, I think, especially with a young team, like, they are talented. There's no doubt about it. They have amazing players. We'll get to Ben Simmons later, I know. But I just, you know, playing an experienced team led by a guy like LeBron is just a whole nother animal. I don't doubt playoff LeBron. You know, I'm saying out of habit that Cleveland's going to make the finals. I know they have their questions, and you know, if they do fall apart and lose in the playoffs, you know, the signs were there, but with just I can't doubt Cleveland. They played terrible before and bounced back, so I'm rolling with Cleveland. I don't think Philly can get to the finals. I think they can get to conference finals unless somehow they get matched up against Toronto. Toronto pulls off an upset against Cleveland. That's the only way I can see Philly getting to the finals. But they can't beat, in my eyes, they can't beat Cleveland. So they can beat any other. I can see them realistically having a shot to beat any other team in the East except Cleveland.
FIFO, man. Ben Simmons is your man's. Embiid is a beast. He'll be back soon. I mean, finals?
Look, like I said last week, based off of talent alone, they are deeper than the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
But that experience factor, man, and just like Chris said, at this point in his career, how do you bet against Brook? You know what I'm saying? So I think those two things alone, experience and LeBron, is the reason why I'm rolling with the Cavs. But don't get it twisted. Like I said last week, if Joel Embiid can adjust to playoff basketball, and Ben Simmons as well, and they can step up another level, and Joel's like, yo, just give me the rock, can't nobody stop me, they can beat Cleveland. They can do that. I'm just not calling that because I think that Bron is too much. You know, we just saw it in the game. We just talked about it, 30 down, and he came out with a mentality of we're not going to lose this game like this. And you saw it, and we see it from Bron. We saw it from early Bron. You know, Bino, he remember what he did to Detroit. He know.
Damn, that hurts.
Probably understand. You know what I'm saying? So we've seen it. We remember game. Oh, what was it, game 5 or game 6 in Boston? 45, like,
oh, yeah.
15 and 5. Like we know what Bron can do. He's done it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to bet against that. As great as Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are right now, do they have access to the upper room like LeBron does? You know what I'm saying? Like, LeBron's just like, all right, bet, let's go. And he turns up 2-3 levels. And nobody can match it. We've seen it. Right? And I think that Joel and Ben can eventually get there. I'll be super surprised if they're playing at that level in that deep into the playoffs. Because I just think that at a young age, you, even if you win 2 series, going against a guy like LeBron, I don't know if they know how to match that level just yet. You know, but look, if they step up, that'll be a problem. And then if they play Golden State or Houston, I think they have an opportunity. And look, and if they break the mold, all I know is the next NBA team that's looking for a GM, they need to hire Sam Hinkie. That's all I know.
100%.
That's all I know. If they win a championship this year, y'all need to stop dogging my guy. Y'all need to rehire him somewhere and let him redo the process, okay?
You know, this is kind of crazy, man, because, like, when I think about the Eastern Conference Finals and them playing Cleveland, and I think about the matchups they've had so far and Cleveland's porous defense, I think they got a shot. But then I think, like, what would they do to Embiid? He can guard Kevin Love on the perimeter if they decided to take him out of the paint. I mean, that would clear the rim, you know. So, I mean, LeBron can attack all day, but I think what Embiid can do offensively on the other end puts Cleveland at a disadvantage. I don't know if Trista can't touch that. You know, Larry Nance can't touch that. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, man. The more I think about it, I think they got a shot. I think they may have a chance to do it if Cleveland don't shore up their defense, because when I think of the Cavs, they've been in playoff mode for a while. And we've seen playoff LeBron for a while. Now, B, Zeke said something when he was talking to Stephen A. Smith that really caught my attention. And he said that when they were down 30, that, and I think he said when they were down 30, they didn't even think that LeBron could take it to another level. And he did. Which, when he said it, it kind of scared me because it made you think, like, how do you have another gear? How do you take it to – you're already playing at a high level. How do you take it to another gear? So thinking about that and thinking about the matchup and how LeBron would not want to lose to Ben Simmons, the young king, I see where you guys are coming from, Platy, FIFO. I see where you guys are coming from. But Embiid is highly confident. Ben Simmons, because of Embiid's absence, has gained a lot of confidence, and we're seeing him finally come out and show, like, everything that he can do. And when Embiid comes back, I think they got a shot, B. Come on, B. I'm not by myself, B.
Have a shot at what? Getting to the finals?
Going to the finals. Yeah.
I mean, anyone can have a shot is the fact that they're going to do it. No. But I can see why. Well, I don't know if you're seeing the same thing I'm seeing, but I've been preaching this for the past 3 months about the Cavs, man. Is they play horrible, horrible team defense. And I mean, and I'm assuming, because we've seen this before when, you know, teams switching in a different mode when playoffs start. So hopefully their team defense gets better. But you cannot let these squads score 124, 130 points right on you. What'd you say?
No, I said right.
Yeah, so that's the little thing that scares me about the Cavs going into, because, I mean, at one point in February, you know, their team defense was looking so horrible when they was losing all those games before the trade. I'm like, these dudes ain't even going to get out the second round. So just because their defense was so horrible. I mean, you can't let the Brooklyn Nets, like, when you're letting the weaker, lower-tier team scoring 120 points on you, it's like, come on, man. Like, but I'm assuming that they're going to tighten up. You know, usually playoff basketball always intense. You know, intensifies a lot once you get into that April, May, and June. So I would assume that LeBron will lock in, get his team to lock in, and they get to play in some defense because, yeah, if they're letting teams average 127, 130, 30-something points against you, Philly has a chance. Yes, can they do? Because Cavs play horrible defense. But, it's still hard for me to – give the keys off to the young guys just yet. Me and FIFO have been saying this for I don't know how long, since we started doing Dead End Sports. I think I can see this happening. Philly and Cleveland going against each other in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Cavs, they're going to give them that heartbreak. It might go 7 games, and they're going to give Ben Simmons and them that heartbreak. And that's just going to fuel that fire next year. And then going into next season, we're going to be like, look out for Philly. But I definitely think that's a possibility that might happen, Ken. I think Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they're gonna get their hearts broken. They're gonna be crying, going back into the locker room of an intense game 7. You know, it's gonna be a tight game 7 too on their home court. Because you know Philadelphia is a higher seed, so they're gonna have home court advantage. A tough game 7 L to LeBron at Philadelphia. And that's gonna motivate them. That's what's gonna happen. Cavs back in the finals. That's what's going to happen.
Are they the second best team in the East now that Kyrie is hurt?
Yes, in my opinion.
Now that Kyrie is hurt, yes. But it's going to be interesting if Gordon Haywood turns back into his Utah Jazz form and Kyrie come back next season healthy. Man, oh man, it'll be very interesting, you know, in the Eastern Conference, you know, especially if LeBron chooses to stay. But I mean, if he leaves, I mean, pretty much the East is just a free-for-all at that point. Well, I ain't gonna say a free-for-all. I mean, we're gonna be looking at Philadelphia and pretty much Boston as like one and two tier teams to go to Eastern Conference Finals if Brian leaves the East. But and I hate that. This is one thing I hate. I hate we have like big time injuries like this going to the playoffs when superstars get injured and they're gonna miss either part of the playoffs or all of the playoffs. So I hate that because then, you know, it's always the what if this guy didn't get hurt? What if? So yeah, that's the one thing I hate about Kyrie Irving going down and, you know, Gordon Hayward going down at the beginning of the season. I hate when the superstars, you know, get hurt before playoffs, man. I hate that.
Never should have left LeBron.
He was hurt when he played with LeBron the first year when LeBron came back. Him and Kevin Love went in the finals.
He'd still be playing right now.
No, he wouldn't. They'd be in deep trouble right now because if LeBron, if they had Kyrie, they probably still almost had the same type of squad if Kyrie was still there. And then LeBron would be in trouble. He'd be going to the finals with just K-Love.
All right, last one, and then we'll get into the awards. And this could be quick. The eighth seed is up for grabs.
I'm watching that game tomorrow.
So am I.
Oh, yeah. Can't miss it.
Straight by the Nuggets to put themselves in position to just win.
I mean, that's pretty much a playoff game tomorrow. Like, we're going to be watching the playoff game. I mean, technically, it's not a playoff game, but, yeah, it's a playoff game for Denver and Minnesota. That's the playoff game. That's going to be a playoff game.
Who you got?
Because I like K'Anthony Towns, man. I'm gonna go with Minnesota. I like Cat.
Who you got?
Barbecue chicken.
Where is it at? Whose home floor is it? It's in Denver, right?
Let me see.
Does anyone know? Yeah.
No, I'll tell you in just a second. Schedule Wednesday.
Is that Minnesota?
Yeah, it's at Minnesota.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going with Minnesota. I'm going with Minnesota not only because of the home court thing. I think Denver has a much stronger home presence, but I'm going with Minnesota just because Jimmy Butler, of all the guys in that, like BZ said, it's going to be a playoff experience. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. Of all the guys, Jimmy's the guy who's been through the postseason and had success. So I expect him to elevate and shoulder a lot of the weight and carry a lot of the weight. And I expect Minnesota to win and move on. And I want Minnesota too. Like, I like Denver, but Minnesota's had a long playoff drought, man. Just get them in there. They have such a good team and they just got hit with injuries. And I know the same could be said for Denver, but it's been too long since Minnesota's been in the playoffs. So I'm rooting for them.
Who you got, FIFO?
Yeah, I got Minnesota as well, but not because of Jimmy. I think Cat. I think Cat. This is the year that he has to break out. The way you really break out and show out is in the playoffs, and I think he wants that. We've seen it. I think Thibodeau needs to feed him a bit more. Obviously, Jimmy Butler is going to be the anchor of this squad on both ends, but I think Jimmy needs to concede that offensive role to Carl because I think he has the biggest advantage night in, night out. And I think if Jimmy just more so focuses on defense and lets Cat score, I think they're a better squad that way, just personally. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to have some success in this postseason. And I think Cat is going to make himself a household name this year.
Yeah, I got a funny feeling the Nuggets will somehow win because they've been playing for their lives for almost a week to 2 weeks now. But I'm with you, FIFO. I think this could be Cat's coming out party, and I think he can neutralize Jokic, who's been part of the reason why they've been able to make it this far. Because there have been some games during the streak where they should have lost. And they managed to pull out in the fourth quarter, but at home, like Platy said, I like that, and I think if Thibs called the right game, and he go ahead and put Cat to work, I think they'll I think Minnesota will win it, and I want to see him in the playoffs too. So it would be unfortunate if they didn't make it. So anyway, all right, it's time. NBA season is officially over as of tomorrow. We can go ahead and give out our awards now, who we think will win or who our picks are. So let's start with Sixth Man of the Year. Platy, who's your Sixth Man of the Year?
Lua. I don't think it's really a contest.
Right.
Yeah,
I think that's consensus. Lou Williams, that was my pick too. Lou Williams is the clear winner for Sixth Man of the Year.
You on board with that, FIFO?
Mm-hmm.
All right, all right. Coach of the Year. What do you guys have for Coach of the Year?
This one's super interesting. This one I really feel like can go to a bunch of different coaches. But I went with Brad Stevens, just because of what he did with Boston this year, the way he got the most out of a team, and you know, not only just overperforming for talent reasons, but also just like the emotional toll that Hayward's injury had to take, and you know, everything that happened to them this year, and the way he's been able to get the most out of Tatum and Brown, two young players, get the most out of them right away, very early in their careers. It's very impressive. He consistently outcoaches a lot of coaches in this league. But, you know, I think there's a lot of cases to be made for guys like D'Antoni and all that. But, yeah, I'm going with Brad Stevens.
What about you, B?
It's a shame that I don't know these coaches' name, but I'm just going to give you the teams. Between me, I would say either between the coach for Philly or the coach for
Brett Brown.
Brett Brown and the coach for Portland.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Terry
Stotts. Only because, you know, going into this season, you know, who would have thought that we would have Philadelphia being a 3 seed and Portland being a 3 seed going into this year? Going into this season, we didn't expect. I mean, we knew there was going to be, even with Philly, because we was like, they're going to either barely make the playoffs or barely miss it. Like, we had them at the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th spot, probably just getting out, you know, still getting that, you know, year of youth and trying to get that experience. So we didn't expect that from Philadelphia this year. And with Portland, we was like, well, okay, yeah, Portland's probably going to be a 5, 6 seed or anything like that. I mean, where they probably still can based off what happened. But, you know, we didn't expect them to have the good season that they was going to have, especially if they end up locking up that 3 seed out in the West tomorrow. So, yeah, I would go between those coaches. But I guess Philly. I'm picking Philly coach. Just because it's kind of like a – just because they kind of like have like a shock the world type of mentality. Who would have thought they was going to win 50 games this year, you know?
Interesting. What you got, FIFO?
I'm gonna go with Brett Brown. But not only because of this season, but also what he's been doing before he got his two horses in the race.
Yeah.
He always had that Philadelphia squad playing hard. Didn't matter if they won 15 games, 25 games, every game that they played hard. And he maximized the talent he had. I think he could have won Coach of the Year plenty of times if he would have just had more talent. And we're seeing what he can do when he has his guys and everything that he's instilled. Because when you watch Philly play, it's not a one-man show. You know, these guys actually play team ball. Yes, they have two dominant guys, but they also play team ball. They play through the system. You see the system. They trust the system. They trust the process. Mm-hmm. They trust the Rookie of the Year. And what you see is just the beginning. They're just scratching the tip of the iceberg, man. Just right now, you know. And next year they're going to be even more dangerous. They still have a lot of salary cap room. And let me digress. But Brett Brown is the guy, man. I love Brad Stevens. Everybody, I call him the Popovich of the East. You know, he's the next era Popovich to me. I've been said it. I love what Terry Stotts has done, who thought Portland was going to be number 3. But there were still question marks on Joel Embiid. You know, he just signed a big-time contract. Did he earn it? Question marks people had on Ben Simmons. But I told y'all day one he was going to be the guy, just like I did with Joel. And we've seen what Brett Brown can get out of him, man. And everybody else. Dario Saric, the way they've handled the Markelle Fultz situation. And it seems like when he gets into the game, he knows what to do and what his role is. Brett Brown, I just think, is very underrated. And this year, he's proven his worth in the NBA.
Brad Stevens has definitely caught my attention this year with the way he managed that team, the way he managed
really
to win games.
Because about 2 weeks ago, you were saying that there was a bad team.
Did I?
Yep.
I said they got a lot. They did win a lot of lucky games. They did win a lot of lucky games.
Can you please call them out too?
No, you right. I'm sitting here just smiling because I'm like, damn, Ken, for real.
Nah, man, I think I said he was the Popovich of the East. I'm on record.
We had to convince you. That's not how you was feeling. That's not how you was feeling.
No, it wasn't.
That wasn't original, Ken.
I do agree that they lucked up and won a lot of games, but he's done a good job coaching. I'm not going to take away from the brother. Terry Stotts, I mean, we thought, at least I did, I thought Portland was dead in the waters, and what he managed to do to get them all the way to, what, the third seed, you know, before this losing streak, it was incredible. And, you know, God, what's the coach in Utah? What's his name? Jesus.
Quinn Snyder, yes. He Quinn deserves Snyder. A lot of praise as well, yeah.
Never, he's rarely talked about, but yes, he did. And for him to, I think one of his biggest decisions or one of his best decisions this year was, you know, to unleash Rookie of the Year Donovan Mitchell. And he's managed to, in the West, compete and win games. And right now they're blowing out the Warriors. And I also want to shout out Pop. I mean, we already know he's a good coach, but he didn't have Kawhi Leonard all year. He didn't have Kawhi Leonard all year, and he still managed to get that team into the playoffs, and they went through a rough patch. And the Pelicans coach, I think, deserves a shout-out too, to get them in the playoffs and to manage through adversity with losing DeMarcus Cousins, Gentry. So, and we were questioning him last year, I believe, on this program. But my coach of the year, I'm with you, FIFO B, 15 game winning streak, and there's something to be said about that. And you win one more game, that's 16 straight, 52 wins. They have three less wins than the Boston Celtics, you know, and they're right there as a third seed right now. So, to take the talent, it's one thing to have all of those pieces. It's another to be able to manage it and, you know, to compete. And they've gotten better as the year have gone on. They started out a little slow, but once Brett Brown managed to kind of put his influence and get them playing the right way and the way he wanted them to, they started to rock and roll, man. And he's done a good job at doing that. He's lost Embiid. He's lost Fultz. He didn't have the number one pick this year. So, yeah, I got Brett Brown, man. I think he deserves to win it this year. So, shout out to that brother in Philly. All right. Defensive player of the year. B, who you got?
I got Rudy Gobert. Yeah, I mean, dude, but I know Jazz defensive rating is pretty much high because of him. Whenever he's playing, their defensive rating is like 99.1, which is like the best in the league. I mean, yeah, dude is, I want to say he's leading the league in blocks per game. I had to look that up right quick. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like he's definitely a difference maker in the paint. You know, if Joel Embiid, if he played a lot more games than or just about as much, I was looking at him almost. I give it to Rudy. I think Rudy, he's definitely a difference maker in the paint, man. Like he alternates shots. He does a little stuff that you don't really see on the stats a lot. Like, you know, kind of like what Dennis Rodman did. Besides the rebound, crazy rebound numbers, like Dennis Rodman did the essential things on the court that. Defensively, that you don't see on the stat line, and Rudy Gobert definitely does that. So I give it to him, and he's a good low post defender as well.
Yeah, hold on. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, hold on, B. That's where I have to correct you because I actually went with Embiid, and if you look at the numbers, Embiid has played will play 8 more games than Gobert, because remember Gobert had those injuries. So I actually went with Embiid for. Basically, the same logic that you had Gobert for was that Embiid played more games. But, you know, Gobert, this is a toss-up. This is a coin flip to me. Both are really good. I think at their best, at their apex, I think Gobert is slightly better. But I just went with Embiid because of more games played. And I like what he does when he switches on to guards. He defends very, very well. So, you know, you can't go wrong either way. Both of these teams are a top four defense and defensive rating, and both of these guys are the anchors of their defense. So, you know, it's really a toss-up. Embiid just gets a little bit more rebounds and, you know, and has played more games. So that's why I go with Embiid.
Who got more block shots?
Let me look that up right now. I believe you're right. I believe it was Gobert, but I'll double-check that right now.
Okay.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I'm with you, Platy. I went with Embiid. I think one of the things that impressed me the most about him defensively was watching him guard guards on the perimeter and to actually be able to stick with him. I can't remember what game I was watching, but they switched and he ended up guarding a guard or a forward on the perimeter. And they actually targeted him, and he the guy got past him, but Embiid, I mean, obviously he's 7'2", 7'1", hung with him a little bit, but even when he got past him, he still managed to make the defensive play, and I think they ended up winning that game because of it. But yeah, his ability to guard people on the perimeter was a factor to me because it makes it difficult for teams to, you know, target him in like pick and rolls and stuff like that. So I got him beat, man, as defensive player of the year.
Yeah, and just to fact check, Gobert is averaging 0.5 more blocks per game than Embiid. So it's very close.
You got Draymond Green, FIFO?
Don't try me like that. I think it's a toss up for me as well. Embiid or Gobert, I don't think you could go wrong either way. I'm gonna go with Embiid because he was healthier this season, and just the impact. Just like Rudy, Joel does a lot of stuff on the court that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. Hey Chris, who averaged more steals, Rudy or Embiid?
Let me look that up. I'm still on their pages, so I can tell you in just a second here. Let's see, profile, what's Embiid averaging? Embiid is averaging, half a steal per game, or actually 0.6, and let's see what Gobert
is. Rudy is 1.7.
Okay, so Gobert is averaging one more steal a game.
Yeah, Gobert has the numbers, Embiid has the games played. And that's the deciding factor for me. So as simple as that. Obviously, Gobert, he's right there. He just got to play a couple more games, man. That's you guys said it all. I'm not gonna be able to add to any of that.
I think the reason why I gave Gobert an edge is because I think that just his impact on a team. I mean, Utah is second in points. You know, points per game that a point is scoring them. And I mean, it's like second by like a half of a point from San Antonio. Like his impact just on the team for his team is helps a lot more than what Embiid is doing. That's my only factor. Like, you know, like the reason.
I think it's a toss up. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I mean, yeah, it really is. It really is a toss up.
Yeah, it's okay being wrong, B.
You stupid.
All right, we have three more. Most improved player of the year.
Oladipo. I don't think there's a debate, right?
I don't have anybody different. Anybody has somebody different?
I think that's a good one because I mean he went from who is that guy that's playing with Russell Westbrook in OKC to a freaking he was all-star. He was an all-star. Like that's crazy. And I don't know.
He was the second pick in the draft. Like, people act like the guy couldn't play.
No, but I mean, dude, you go from a forgotten player though. Like, come on. Like, look what he did last year compared to this year.
No, yeah. I'm with you. He is the most improved player. But it's just when I see people talk about him, it's in part because he got his attention because he went to OKC. And he averaged 15 points a game. And then this year he jumped up to 23 points a game. And prior to going to OKC, he was in Orlando for 3 years, and who were really paying attention to them? You know, he was doing 13, 17, and 16, but we saw the potential. I think it was this year he finally kind of he got with the right coach and within the right system, and they were able to finally pull out the talent that he had as being, you know, the second pick in the draft. So, but yeah, no, I do think that he is the most improved player because.
Let me throw these two names out here as I'm looking at, because yeah, I was with Chris. I was like Victor Oladipo, hands down. I mean, it wasn't even. But as I'm looking at this, I'm looking at Spencer Dinwiddie from the Nets. Yeah. Last season, had averaged 7.3 points, 3.1 assists, 2.8 rebounds. This season, 13.8 points, 7.2 assists, and 3.4 rebounds, which is pretty impressive. I mean, but it's the Nets though. And then, hey, look, hometown, Andre Drummond.
Season, I was going to say he's the second to me.
Yeah, last 100%. Season, 38.6% from the free throw line. Yeah. This season, 62.1% from the free throw line, man. And like, dude, that's crazy.
We couldn't trade him for a bag of chips last year. And now, sure, like, good. And now look at him.
Exactly. So,
yeah. No, yeah, I'm with you.
You said what?
I said, I'm with you. The separation for me was that Oladipo got his team to the playoffs and Drummond didn't.
Yep. So, yeah, that was just some other couple of names I just want to throw out. I didn't even notice that Spencer had such an improvement like that. But the Brooklyn Nets, you know.
Their Pistons, you know, pick.
You said, you're right. And the Pistons picked him. Right. We tried to stick him out, but, you know, Stan Van Gundy just got tired of him and traded him off. But I didn't know Spencer had such an improvement year like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. And he's been working, man, playing in D League, went down to D Leagues. And yeah, I didn't know he had an improved season like that. So I definitely wanted to mention him. He deserved a mention.
So, FIFO, you in agreement? You got somebody else? Another name we should consider?
Nah, Oladipo's the guy.
All right.
He got his squad to the playoffs. Improved points per game by 6. That's a major jump.
Yeah.
In one season, that's big time. Got and at the end of the day, he's performing. And you know what? He's come up big in clutch moments. You know, so I think he's the clear cut. I'm not even looking at anybody else.
Yep.
MVP. Who y'all got? Is it James Harden? I mean.
Yeah, I was going to say this is easy for me. It's easy 1-2. It's easy Harden, LeBron 1-2 in that order. I don't really think. I think you can get like a ton of discussions for like third, fourth, fifth place. But I think the 1-2 is just Harden and LeBron.
Beasy?
Yeah, Harden.
FIFO?
And, I mean, yeah. Oh, LeBron, sorry. Just based off. I'll just say, yeah, Harden and, you know, LeBron based off his 15th season in the league and playing like this is fifth. And then, you know, got to put respect on Lillard's name. Harden is Harden.
FIFO?
It's Harden, but it should be LeBron. I was watching Colin Cowherd the other day, and he pointed out something that, you know, I never even thought of. Every other sport in America, we look at season totals to determine who the MVP is. But only in basketball do we look at averages. And if we look at totals, LeBron leads James Harden in every statistical category, right, including field goal and three-point percentage over James Harden. The only thing James Harden has on him is wins. So, you know, we go by the totals, they should be Bron. But I think that we take into account, you know, what your record is. And I think that weighs heavily in favor of James Harden. Yep. But, you know, I think we need to understand what the definition is. Everybody looks at it kind of differently. But if we think about most valuable, meaning if you take that player off that team, what does that team look like?
Right.
That's LeBron for damn near 10 years.
You know, so, 100%.
So, you know, it is what it is. It should be Bron, but this year is going to be James Harden.
Yeah, it's the MVP is just too narrative driven. It's It really comes down to that. Every year, it's always going to be who has the story. And the story this year is James Harden has come close 2 times, arguably could have won it 2 times, but didn't. So let's get him his. LeBron, oh, this guy is super successful, one of the greatest, if not the greatest ever. Let's just, we could toss him by the wayside. We could take him for granted. But I do think objectively Harden is having a better season. I think LeBron deserves a lot more attention than what he got. I don't think it should be as clear cut as everyone's making it out to be.
So James Harden is putting up 38-5, 1.8 mm-hmm. steals, 0.7 rebounds. LeBron is putting up 27-9-8, second in the league in assists, 1.4 steals a game, 0.9 blocks a game. James Harden will win it, but my MVP is LeBron James.
It's insane how he's been playing like this in his freaking 15th year in the league. No, it's nuts.
It's incredible.
No signs of slowing down. None.
We're talking and the same arguments I had. I remember when we had the James Harden Steph Curry debate and we looked at James Harden, was like, he should have won it that year because he carried that team. And mm-hmm. this year, LeBron, they have 50 wins only because of LeBron. He's going to play 82 games more than likely this year. And if they win tomorrow, they will have the same record as they did last year without Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
And all the turmoil. Yeah. No, there's a case.
And he had to put this team together with HVAC tape. I've graduated. I moved up from duct tape, B. I'm on the HVAC now. I think FIFO was talking about this, and we need to reevaluate what MVP really means, because mm-hmm. if we only use wins as the sole determining factor, then I think we're doing guys like LeBron a disservice. We're doing guys like Russell Westbrook last year a disservice, even though he won it, right? We have to sometimes, like you said, it's narrative driven. I think there's a narrative there for LeBron. If people remove the wins from everything, he didn't have a CP3 playing with him. He doesn't have an offensive wizard in D'Antoni helping boost his numbers. Well, I don't want to disrespect James Harden.
There's a narrative for LeBron 100%. The year 15, like, he's doing what he's doing. It's all super impressive. But at the end of the day, the media likes the Harden narrative more. Like, it really comes down.
They like the wins, Platy. It's the wins.
They're using that as justification, though. The real reason is the narrative. The real reason is everybody has sympathy for Harden now. Harden has become for this year.
So we're sorry for the brother now.
Oh, yeah.
We're giving out participation trophies? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, yeah, we are. No, Ken, I'm totally acknowledging all the flaws the MVP has. I'm just saying this is how it's going to go, because this is how the MVP is. And you're right. We totally need to reevaluate in the MVP. Because for the last, like, 5-6 years now, it's just been narrative-driven. Curry got it because the Warriors, oh, my God, who saw the Warriors coming? And then, Curry got it that 1 year because he just went bananas. But outside of that, it's been narrative-driven. Russ, oh, my God, never averaged a triple-double since Oscar Robertson, So it's always been narratives for the last few years now. And it needs to be reevaluated. Otherwise, guys like LeBron and stuff are not going to get the fair consideration they deserve.
And understand something. That was a reason why LeBron said he would vote for himself when asked the question. Because he is attempting to to have that to reevaluate that by putting it out there. He was like, yes, I will vote for me, and you guys need to figure out why I'm saying that. You guys need to get away from he had the most wins in the league, so he should be the MVP, decision-making process that you guys have had over the last couple of years. I just, man, like, like B said, man, the way he's playing this year, with the turmoil that that team has went through, I just got to give it to him. He's my pick for MVP. He's my pick for MVP this year. But James Harden will win it, and I just think it's on, you know, it's unfortunate, because if he would have won the MVP 2 years ago over Steph Curry, I think we would be having a different discussion right now. I think people
would. Oh, yeah, we would. 100%.
So, anyway. All right, so save the best for last, baby. Ben Simmons, and I'm a patching Q, too. He wants to jump in, you know, on his Sixers and Ben Simmons. So I'm going to patch him in. But Rookie of the Year, man. Who y'all got for Rookie of the Year? Platy.
Who you got, man? I got Q's boy. I got Ben Simmons. To me, you know, I seriously hope it's a co Rookie of the Year, because they really do both deserve it. I get the arguments on both sides. Like, they are both phenomenal, and it is close. But I'm going with Ben Simmons for the simple reason he is he's just the better rookie. Now, granted, you know, you could say he had the whole redshirt year, and that is 100% an advantage. But objectively, if we're looking at it in a vacuum right now, who is the most talented rookie? It is, in my opinion, Ben Simmons. I think he's more talented than Donovan Mitchell at this point.
B, who you got?
Yeah, I got Ben, man. Ben Simmons, I mean, that dude. You said what?
You still sticking with Ben, huh?
Yeah, man, Ben Simmons. I mean, you just mentioned it too. Without having him in the, he stepped up even more. He's been stepping up right now even more, man. And like, that's, he's showing that he can be that leader. He's showing, you know, I mean, I'm not putting him on this level yet. It's still only 1 year. But yeah, he's showing, like, as a rookie, his first year playing, he's showing, like, you know, Magic Johnson type leadership skills right now. Like, I think that's dope. I think that's dope to see as a player that young, and he wants to be great. So yeah, Ben Simmons is the rookie of the year. Don't get me wrong. Donovan Mitchell's been balling. You know, it hurts for me to say this because we was one pick away from picking him when I was yelling at the TV screen for my Pistons to pick him. So
amen.
We got Luke Kennard. So I mean, you know, hey, Donovan Mitchell been balling, man. It was certain points in January and February where I was like, Ken, like, yo, I think this dude might be rookie of the year, but no, man, this last month, I think within this last month, these last 30 days, I think Ben Simmons has pretty much closed the deal. I think he shut down any argument of him, you know, not winning Rookie of the Year. He's definitely the Rookie of the Year, man. Like, the dude got it. He's special, man. He's a special dude. He's a special talent, man. I think he might do something, especially if we're talking about him leading the team to an Eastern Conference Finals and possibly a Finals, like you said, Ken. And you were just praising him earlier on this podcast. This dude is MVP. He's a Rookie of the Year, man. He's a Rookie of the Year.
Look, man. I know what people.
What up, Q?
What up, Q?
What's up?
I see he in, but I can't hear him. He probably like, y'all, can y'all hear me? Y'all hear me?
Yeah,
there you go. There you go.
Yeah, but let's be. Did Ben Simmons have to say that? No other rookie call his attention. He see what that man Don Mitch over there doing, man, in Utah.
Nope, that's good. Feet. You know what? Let him say that.
Let him talk his shit.
I'm glad he said that. Ken, when we were saying we didn't stop being buddy buddy in this league and stuff. You know what, Ben Simmons? So what? I am the Rookie of the Year. No one else is in my radar. So what? I like that.
Let me tell y'all what Donovan had to say to Ben Simmons. He wanted to put it in perspective, and this is why Donovan's my Rookie of the Year. I'm switching back, damn it.
You old
so
flip-flop.
I am. I'm flip-flopping like a mug. Look, man, nobody saw this coming, right? Ben Simmons was heralded as the Rookie of the Year before he even stepped on the court. That, you know, so the propaganda machine had already been pumping.
He lived up to that. He lived up to the hype. He lived up to his expectations, what we thought he was going to do.
Fourth seed. Western Conference. You guys have been telling me, everybody's been telling me that the West is this monster. And a rookie stepped on the court, was so good that Quinn Snyder just handed him the keys to the franchise and said, take us there. And he took them to the fourth seed in the West as a rookie, 24-3. You know, look at the competition he has to face night in and night out. Steph Curry one night, Russell Westbrook the next, James Harden, Dame Lillard. Come on, man. Like that, this is who he had to face throughout the whole season, and he was still putting up buckets, hitting game winners, making a name for himself when nobody even knew who he was. This man should be rookie of the year. And I'm with you, Platy. You know what, Platy? I'd be okay if it was co-rookie of the year. But to not give this man rookie of the year after what he did in a much tougher conference, according to all of y'all, I think would be a crime. Tell me I'm wrong.
You wrong. Bro, I see what you're saying, but objectively, like, I get what rookie of the year means and everything, but objectively, Ken, answer me this question. Who is the better player, Ben Simmons or Donovan Mitchell? It's Ben Simmons.
I can't say that Ben Simmons is a better player than Donovan Mitchell.
What? We're talking. I know we got a topic later that says that's about Ben Simmons, and you noticed that you didn't write down also Donovan Mitchell. It's Ben Simmons, bro. Ben Simmons is a better player. Stop it, Ken. You know it. You know it.
I can't say that. What's up, FIFO? I hear you breathing.
Nah, that's not me breathing. You know, I'll be on mute. But nah, man, look, Ken, come on, man. Donovan Mitchell is a nice player. He could potentially be great. He could potentially be great. He's had a great season, right? And any other year, if Ben would have played last year and this was the rookie class without Ben Simmons, remember what I said last year, and me and B agreed with me. We both said Ben Simmons needed to sit out so he had the opportunity to win rookie of the year. And that's all he did, put himself in position. If he would have played last year, this year, hands down, it would have been Donovan Mitchell. But guess what? Ben played this year. He didn't play a game last year. Ben Simmons is the better player, Ken, because Ben Simmons does what other players cannot do, right? He makes other people better. He elevates the entire team. There's been only a handful of people to be able to do that. That's the reason why he is a greater player. Not only does he have greater physical tools, but his game is a greater game because it involves everybody. Donovan Mitchell is a scorer, and I give you that. Built like a tank at 6'3", you know what I'm saying? Big-time heart, you know what I'm saying? I think he's one of those guys. I think he's going to be around for a while. But like I said on the last show, he has to prove it to me at least next season because I've seen it with Tyreke Evans before. Look, Donovan Mitchell averages less than 4 rebounds and 4 assists a game. What is Ben Simmons averaging? Oh, okay. Doesn't matter that he gets more points. Doesn't matter he had 240-point games. Doesn't matter he had 5 30-point games. Ben Simmons has a bigger impact on any team.
He's shorter. You can't hold rebounds against him. He's like, what?
Russell Westbrook averages like 12 rebounds a game, bro.
We already said earlier that they part like the Red Sea in order to get him those rebounds.
I didn't agree. I don't know what y'all talking about. I don't care if they part like the Red Sea. He's still getting double-digit rebounds. Ball is a better rebounder.
He's taller than Ben, and
I'm not going to hold that against Donovan Mitchell's greatness. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. At the end of the day, Ken, he's not a better basketball player than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has the opportunity to be a Mount Rushmore player. Donovan Mitchell will never, ever, 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 ever be that.
If I could interject real quick, you know, as the resident Sixers fan here who, you know, watched Ben Simmons almost every game at LSU and summer league his first unofficial rookie year, and then you know him breaking his foot and him being in a state of a depressive episode for like 8 months. Ben Simmons, by definition, is a rookie. It's his first year playing NBA basketball with an NBA basketball on an NBA basketball court in the National Basketball Association playing basketball. So he's a rookie. So even I don't know if y'all saw, but Donovan Mitchell had on a hoodie where they were defining like the definition of a rookie, and then like the Webster Twitter account said, "Would you like for us to define the word played next?" Because Ben Simmons. Because Ben Simmons did not play on the NBA basketball court all last season. He broke his foot. He was in a boot for 6 months. But, okay, cool. He got to watch film and like and lift weights. So he's automatically, you know, better than Donovan Mitchell going in, I guess. In terms of his play on the court, Donovan Mitchell's a fantastic player. I'm not gonna be that guy who fronts on him and says, you know, he's cool. You know, he's a nice player. Donovan Mitchell's balling out. Donovan Mitchell has showed that he has an arsenal of moves at 6'3", 6'4", and he's really done something amazing over there in Utah. And it's incredibly hard to do well in that conference. And for him to have them with a playoff spot locked up makes it even much more for his case. So I'm not going to say that it's like, you know, it's just, you know, a closed case, you know what I'm saying? Donovan Mitchell couldn't touch Ben this year because it was close for a couple of weeks. But for me, rookie of the year, the same thing as MVP, the same thing as coach of the year, for any award, you have to have that staple moment. And for me, Ben Simmons' staple moment was literally beating LeBron James without – Joel Embiid.
To go Did on y'all that see what Ben Simmons said?
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. Yeah, go ahead, FIFO.
So yeah, man, look, I think this is why he's a rookie. Look, he says if his argument is that I'm not a rookie, if that's his only argument he has, I'm in pretty good shape. because think about it. He's not refuting that Ben Simmons is having a better year than him. He's just saying Ben Simmons, this is supposed to be his sophomore year.
Exactly.
So, look, man, Ben Simmons is the guy. Case closed.
Exactly.
Thank you very much.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, when it comes to, a signature moment, Donovan Mitchell, he doesn't have one, you know? Like he doesn't have a signature moment. Like,
what?
If I tell you, he doesn't have a signature moment for his rookie campaign, unless you want to count putting up 35 shots and making the 35 points against the old Spurs team that Ben Simmons put up a triple-double on, but that's fine.
He put up 41 on the Pelicans.
Is that okay. That's an incredible achievement, Ken. That's an incredible achievement. We went up on the Davis Pelicans. But anyway, Ben Simmons
he's
hit some game winners. He's hit some big shots in the fourth quarter. Stop it, Q. The man has signature moments in the NBA.
He doesn't have a signature moment. He has great games, but there's nothing that's been like the national.
What's signature about Ben Simmons? That he's getting all these triple doubles that's so overrated now in the NBA?
Ken, Ben Simmons probably gets the most, besides LeBron, he probably gets the most natural, organic triple doubles in the NBA. Easily. He's not chasing it. He's a point guard at almost damn near 6'11", bringing the ball up the floor. He's bringing the ball up the floor, Ken. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's a point guard. It's not just some point forward.
Where's the signature moment, Q? Where's the signature moment?
Beating LeBron James without Joel Embiid is a signature moment.
Bruh, he almost lost that game. They were up 30. They were up 30.
Oh, my goodness.
30.
Without Joel Embiid, am I supposed to be mad at that?
Absolutely. You're up 30 points and you almost
blow it? Because if we have Joel Embiid, it's not even the thing. So, like, come on now, Ken. All right, see, the thing is that –
can't give him credit for blowing a 30-point lead.
You also got to give him credit, though, for getting a 30-point lead, though, to be fair.
Hold on. Is it a W or is it an L at the end of the day?
You're saying that's a signature moment. The man was up 30. He was up 30 and almost blew it.
Ken, I know you got to put this in context. Are you really trying to say that Ben Simmons and his team, without Joel Embiid, going up 30 points on the reigning Eastern Conference champs of the last, what, 2 years or 3 years, and losing it, but the only person who was able to keep that team's composure while J.J. Redick, he hits that, what people think it was a dagger three. You have Sarge on the bench. Everyone's going crazy. The only person in the middle of the court saying y'all need to calm down is Ben Simmons. That shows not only that you have veteran like this, you have everything in your wheelhouse that you need as a player, and he hasn't even taken a 3-point shot yet. So let's not even do that. You beat LeBron James to get 50 wins that we just had 28 wins last season. Season before that, we had 10 wins. And after that game, all of national media is saying, can the Sixers go to the Eastern Conference Finals? I came on this podcast 2 weeks ago. I said, do not be surprised if the Sixers go to the Eastern Conference Finals. And people were on here saying, let's slow down now. Let's slow down. But as soon as Ben Simmons beats LeBron, everyone's jumping on my bandwagon. Can the Sixers go to the Eastern Conference Finals? Yes, we can. Because Ben Simmons is 6'11", playing point guard, like a hybrid of Lamar Odom and Magic Johnson out here. And no one can check him. Like, literally, you beat your mentor in LeBron James. Without the best player on the Sixers, that's a signature moment. Donovan Mitchell's had incredible games, but there's nothing that set the world on fire. I know you see those dimes, Ken. I know you see it going between
because
the legs.
You know why? Because Donovan Mitchell doesn't have a propaganda machine pushing his accomplishments. That's why.
So, all right. The same propaganda machine that has been taking dumps on the process for the last 4 years.
Ben Simmons. They get credit for Embiid and they get credit. But they get credit for Embiid and they get credit for Ben Simmons. And folks, they don't get credit for how they went about doing it. And you can't give the Philadelphia 76ers credit for beating Cleveland when the Jazz also beat Cleveland. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
But you're saying Ben Simmons without Joel Embiid beating LeBron James to get to 50 wins and secure the third spot in the East.
That's not a signature moment. And Donovan Mitchell doesn't even have an Embiid on his team. And he's still
he has Rudy Gobert, who's already – he has Rudy Gobert, who is in Defensive Player of the Year conversations.
Thank God for him. What am I going to do without Rudy Gobert? They were winning games without Rudy Gobert because of Donovan Mitchell. Same thing that Ben Simmons is doing without Embiid.
We were winning games, and we've won games – without Joel Embiid, about 7 of them, with Ben Simmons playing some of the best basketball he's played in his life.
I think it was Rudy Gobert going down is how Donovan Mitchell actually ended up bursting onto the scene. Mm-hmm. Yep, sure was.
The same thing can be said for Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons was already on the scene, dog. He was on the scene when he was in freaking college. He was on the scene last year when he didn't even play a game.
Do you know when they polled all the rookies of who's going to win Rookie of the Year? Do you know who got the number one vote?
When was
Dennis Smith Jr. This poll was done. Yeah, this poll was done at the beginning of the year. It was Dennis Smith Jr. Then it was Tatum. Then it was Fulton Lonzo. And at the very bottom,
was this on? Bleacher Report.
I think it was actually like the NBA actually just polled all the rookies and they said, oh, Dennis Smith is going to get it. And the last three people with like less than 2% were Kuzma, Donovan Mitchell, and at the very bottom was Ben Simmons. Everyone would say, oh, Lonzo Ball, you know what I'm saying? So it's not a hype. It's not a hype machine. People were like, Ken, come on. Colin Cowherd said, Colin Cowherd said we were going to miss the playoffs. Stephen A. said, I don't care about the process. They'll probably win 35, 40 games. We have won 51 games about to lock up the third seed in the NBA when most pundits and all analysts and all these blogger boys, as KD says it, projected us to be the eighth seed or the seventh seed. And at the highest, they had us at fifth. We're about to lock up the third seed after beating LeBron James without Joel Embiid. If I told you at the beginning of the year that
the Philadelphia 76ers would beat LeBron without Joel to secure the third seed, you would call me insane. If I told you Donovan Mitchell, if I told you, oh, come on, Ken, don't do that. Don't. Because people have always had their problems with Ben as a prospect. They like him, and please don't even say that there was a propaganda machine behind him, because I can go back to that first take film. I can go back to the Cowherd film. I can go back to the First Things First film where people were saying, Ben Simmons, he's a great prospect, but does he not want it enough? Is he too lazy? Is he just Lamar Odom? And then what does he do? Come out and break Magic Johnson's rookie year triple-double record. That's historic stuff. The only thing Donovan Mitchell does better than him is score the ball by 4 more points. Congratulations. That's an incredible thing to do. And I think that he's going
to the playoffs in the West as a fourth seed.
That's great. We got to the East in the third seed when people projected us to be the eighth seed. So it's like you can't really like say that, oh, Ben Simmons doesn't deserve rookie of the year. I just think he does. And he's only going to get better. Like, can we just even think about the fact that if he gets any semblance of a three-point shot, it's damage. Because you can already not really guard him. You can try to step back. He's going to go right by you. He's going to foul you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all you have to do is foul him. For right now, that's the only semblance of an answer for him. But he affects the game without even having to score, Ken.
Ben
that's
Simmons.
The thing that...
All right. Ben Simmons has a great future ahead of him. And he's probably going to win an MVP. He may win a title. I know he and Embiid have been talking about finding ways to stay together and not break up what they have. Ben Simmons probably will go on to have a better career than Donovan Mitchell when we look at it when it's all said and done, right? But this year, he just might not. He just won't be, you know, Rookie of the Year. You know, it's fine. But, you know, he'll win it. I do think this stat is impressive, though. I saw this when I was reading about him saying that he should be Rookie of the Year 100%. During this 14-game winning streak, he's averaging a triple-double and 2 steals a game. Yeah, well, you know, however many you want to say. He may have
the longest in franchise history, but, you know, I'm sleeping, though. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, well, congratulations to the
is the first 50-point season since Iverson was in the jersey. That's all I gotta say.
I mean, I'm just, you know, the Utah Jazz lost Gordon Hayward, and nobody thought that they would be where they are, but they got a guy named Donovan Mitchell who just put them right back on the map. So, you know,
and Quinn Snyder's a great coach. So let's not even take away from Quinn Snyder first.
No. I propped him up. I gave him his props. But speaking of Ben Simmons, so I think I heard – I forgot where I heard it on. I think maybe it was First Things First. And they said that Ben Simmons is potentially a top 20 player in the NBA right now. So I wonder if that is indeed the case. So so I'm going to put it to you guys. What do you think? B, let me start with you, brother. Brother B. Brother Beasy. Is Ben Simmons a top 20 player in the NBA right now?
I made a list of 20 guys. I can name off 20 names. Tell me if Ben Simmons is better than any of these guys. So I didn't do it in any particular order too. This is just 20 guys that, you know, stand out to me. LeBron, KD, Steph, Russ, Kawhi, Kyrie, AD, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Karl Anthony Towns, Chris Paul, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard, Victor Oladipo, Klay Thompson, Paul George, and Jokic. Is he better than any of those guys?
Yeah.
That's 20 right there.
Yeah.
He is. He's better than Klay.
I was about to say Klay. When I heard Klay, I was like, yep, Klay.
Klay, Draymond, who else is better than them three?
Klay, Draymond, and who?
Giannis.
Giannis? Oh, no. I can't roll
he's better than Giannis.
He's Clay, Clay, Draymond, and Jokic.
I'm
definitely
with that.
Draymond.
You can put Jokic on that list too.
You think he's better than Jokic? Jokic out here getting triple doubles too.
He's better than Jokic.
I'm
not taking Giannis out of that list, but I mean, you can make an argument of
he's better than Giannis.
But,
no.
I'm just saying you can make an argument, but I'm not taking him out that list though.
Yeah, no. Giannis is way better than Ben Simmons.
No. The question is Ben Simmons better than Giannis?
Yes.
No, not that. I think we can put him as a top 20 player based on what that list that Platy just read. I want to address what FIFO just said. Is Ben Simmons better than Giannis?
No, man. No, Giannis is a freak of nature. Like, I get
you, Ben Simmons. You can probably put them like.
No, but it's closer than people think.
No, I'm with you. I was about to say it's closer than people think, but I can't do it with Giannis yet. Not Giannis.
I don't think they both hit their ceiling yet. So, Ben Simmons haven't yet. So,
they haven't. And Giannis has come a long way, right? But this is year five versus year one. And for them to be as close as they are, because I'm not saying that Ben Simmons is leaps and bounds ahead of Giannis.
I got you.
He's a better basketball player because he has better IQ than Giannis.
He does.
They're both physically freaks. Obviously, Giannis is uniquely long, right? Even longer than KD. Okay, cool. But Ben Simmons is a physical freak as well. You know what I'm saying? Especially for the position he plays. I just think Ben Simmons is about a half step or maybe a full step ahead of Giannis right now. And Giannis has been in the league 5 years.
You know, I see your argument. I will definitely 100% agree that Simmons is a more has a higher IQ than Giannis. That's 100%. That's been my biggest knock, is not his jumper, his IQ. But I just think Giannis right now is better. I do think it's close though. Like I think that's literally something that shouldn't have got the reaction that that some of the panel gave it when you said it. I'm with you on that. So like I think Simmons is probably top 15-ish because I could probably take him over Damian Lillard, Victor Oladipo, Klay Thompson, Jokic, Draymond. I could take him over those guys 100%. So I think he's definitely a top 20 player. I don't think he's Giannis level yet. But I think you're right. Like year five, Ben Simmons, I think will be better than Giannis year five. And, you know, and I think sometime in between those 4 years, I think he will eclipse Giannis. I think he will, but not right now, in my opinion.
I think I got to agree with FIFO.
Giannis is shooting 70% at the rim, or damn near 70% at the rim. He is a freak of nature, and I know Ben Simmons is good. Like I hate that I have to make this argument, but Giannis is a freak of he's putting up numbers at the. I mean, these are numbers at the rim that's only matched by prime LeBron, apex LeBron.
Yeah, but all around game though, man. I think the reason why I reacted the way I did is because FIFO and B have been pushing Giannis for a minute now. Mm-hmm. So I reacted that way because everybody was saying Giannis has next. So it just shocked me to hear FIFO say that Ben Simmons was better than Giannis because, you know, he had been pushing him hard, but I think based on the things that I've seen, I would take Ben over Giannis personally myself, in spite of everything I'm saying, because I was just arguing Rookie of the Year. But I think and you know what, I'll put Donovan Mitchell in the top 20. I think I'll take out Draymond Green and put him in there.
Oh God.
Oh no, Ken. No.
Okay, take out Klay Thompson. Take out Klay Thompson then.
No.
Yes.
No, are you taking out Donovan Mitchell? Bro, if that's the case, you put CJ in there before Donovan.
Yeah, Donovan's not a top 20. Not yet. Not easy. You know, he might be someday, but not this year.
Bro, I'm trying to tell y'all that I don't think y'all realize.
I didn't even name Hayward, by the way.
Bruh. Yeah, like, come on now. I don't think y'all realize how fast Ben Simmons is for his height. Like, there's some, there's like some test that like you have to go through, or when you're like in the drafting process or whatever. And Ben Simmons, amongst like some of the fastest like just guards in the NBA, the only guards that were of note who are starting on NBA teams who are faster than him were people like Russell Westbrook, John Wall, and Dame. And it was like he's like the fourth or fifth guy.
And my boy Ish, don't forget Ish.
And Smith is like the fourth guy, so he's like the fifth guy. Ben Simmons is 6'11", where I don't think y'all realize how quickly he accelerates to the basket. And like I said, I tweeted this out months ago. I said the moment that Ben Simmons realizes that no one can stop him, or very few people can stop him from getting to wherever he wants to on the court, is the moment that the league is in trouble. Because very early on, when I was seeing him, he was very tentative. And he was very pass first, and he was very pass second, and he will score third. That was like his, you know, mentality. But honestly, Embiid being out for the time that has happened, it's probably been a blessing in disguise for him, because he's realized, oh wait, I'm almost 7 feet, and I weigh like 235 pounds. There's no one that can really stop me. All I gotta do in the offseason is work on my free throw and work on my 3-point shot, which if you've seen him in warmups. That thing is wet for real, but, you know, like the mechanic is a little weird, so he's going to work that out. And I think by year two, I think Ben Simmons could honestly be a top 15, top 12 player in the NBA. And
I think he's already there.
You think he's – I think he's like 16 to 17
probably. Okay, yeah. I'm with that but borderline. Like, he's in that range.
And I don't think y'all realize it's just like – Joel Embiid still is figuring out basketball. This is like his eighth year playing basketball, like in his entire life. So people don't understand how scary that potential is there too. So all I'm saying is that the Sixers, like I said 4 years ago on this very podcast, the Sixers potentially in Joel Embiid have a top two player in the NBA, and Ben Simmons is potentially a top three player in the NBA. And both of them are young. And both of them have skill sets that are versatile. I don't think people realize how versatile Ben Simmons is on defense. I don't think they realize how fast he is. And I don't think they realize how much he affects the game without even having to score a point. Now, that being said, he does have his deficiencies. And those deficiencies show up in like things like scoring and, you know, mechanical deficiencies with like his like shot and whatnot. But this is his rookie season. And he hasn't taken 1-3, and he has his team in the conversation for can they make the Eastern Conference Finals. I've even heard rumblings about people saying, oh, we can make the finals. So it's like Ben Simmons already has his team in that position. I think you have to put him in the top 20 conversation off top. Like, that's just not even a thing, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, we're coming up on the end of the show. Q, what, real quick, if you can – give us your answers to this. Who's your sixth man of the year?
Oh, that's Lou Williams.
Yes,
Coach of the year?
Brad Stevens.
I'm with you.
Defensive player of the year?
Joel Embiid.
Yep.
Most improved player of the year?
Victor Oladipo.
Yep.
And MVP?
Manessa. Beard, you already know what you're talking about. That's the wrong. That's Houston, man. He got a signature moment, Ken. You know what I'm saying? Putting Wesley Johnson to sleep real quick. Get back.
Hey,
come on now.
Donovan got Draymond tonight.
Oh yeah, Draymond. Man, he ain't been the fan, man. I don't know what's going on.
Nah, he something wrong with that brother. All right, okay. So, last question, Lonzo Ball, man. We're at the end. He's probably not going to play anymore. Is he a bust?
No, man.
He's just figuring it out. Like, I get that
there's a bust
like,
after 1 year? Jesus Christ, Ken.
Yeah, like, yeah. I. We're just too much in the prisoner of the moment era right now. Like,
yes. Oh, you could not say anything.
Every year, think about how narratives change every year. Look at guys like Drummond. He was, again, you couldn't trade him for a bag of chips. Now, you know, people actually look at him like, wow, he's actually a really good center and he's a really good basketball player. And, you know, like he can, you know, actually be a pillar or one of the pillars of a franchise. Like, things change year to year so much. And so I think we're too much prisoner of the moment. Like, the kids got to find it out. I am worried, though, because things can snowball and, you know, and he does have extra pressure with everything, you know, with all the attention that Lonzo gets. So he does have extra pressure, and there is something to be worried about. But at the end of the day, the kid is 19. Like, he's far from a finished product.
FIFO, didn't you say Lonzo Ball was going to be a transcendental player?
I did. And here's the thing. maybe not at the level of a Ben Simmons, but when you look at this man's numbers, man, like, he was very close to a triple-double his rookie year. I think the only reason why we're looking at him in a negative light is because of his dad. If he didn't have the hoopla surrounding his father, we would be talking about Lonzo in a completely different perspective. And I choose to continue that positive perspective on his rookie season, mainly because during that second half, you saw him pick it up. And that's what you want to see with young players, because the season is so long and you know that you have to have multiple levels that you are able to tap into to perform at a high level. And we've seen Lonzo throughout the course of this season, you know, figure it out, deal with adversity, obviously manufactured by his father, deal with injury adversity, deal with the expectations set at the beginning of the season by his dad and Magic Johnson, and the added pressure of winning Summer League MVP. You know, the expectation level was high. And maybe he didn't reach a Ben Simmons or Donovan Mitchell rookie career record-setting year, but he had a very, 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 very good rookie season by all accounts, and I think he's only going to get better. Will he be the next NBA superstar? No, but I think he has an opportunity to be the next greatest pure point guard in the league. I definitely think he has that opportunity. And the sky's the limit, man. I just think that we have to look at this guy objectively. Look at his game. Watch him play basketball versus reading the headlines of what his dad said after their fifth loss. You say, oh, well, Luke Walton has lost the locker room and all. Like, take that away. Watch Lonzo for Lonzo. At the beginning of the season, I criticized him for not being aggressive. Guess what he did the second half of the season? He was aggressive. You know, he attacked the basket, got to the free throw line a little bit more, shot way higher percentages from the field and also from 3-point. So my thing is he's had a good season. He's elevated his game, and I expect him to continue to do that over the course of this offseason and going into his sophomore year.
I think he's closer to being a bust than
you're tripping.
Being a good player. I do.
You're tripping. So Ken, would you have said the same thing about Jason Kidd? Because look at the numbers. They're damn near the same for their rookie year. Look at the numbers.
Yeah, but Jason Kidd was different, though. If I remember his rookie year, he was a little bit different.
It was a little bit different. I know the did we just not talk about how basketball is rated on averages? Lonzo is averaging almost a triple-double. But you're talking about bust?
Man. Okay, Ken. I think he's closer to being a bust based on where he was selected. Yes, will he be that? I don't think so. I think he definitely has room to improve. There were like if his field goal percentage improves, that 10 goes up to maybe 15. He definitely can fill the stat sheet. But I had Lonzo Ball on my fantasy basketball team, and I've seen his stats throughout the whole damn year. The man just hasn't had many good games. He had a couple of stretches here and there, but as a whole, collectively, it just wasn't good. But going back to what you were saying about averages, yeah, averages out to 10-7-7. And when people look at that, we're like, oh, that wasn't bad. But when you look at this thing on a game-by-game basis, it just wasn't impressive. at all. At all. So I think he has a ways to go before we'll
So you're telling me the youngest player to ever get a triple-double was not impressed? Was not impressive?
No, I don't care about that. Triple-doubles are inflated in today's NBA.
They're not, Ken. They're not. They are. You're tripping.
I think there needs to be some research done into that. I think triple-doubles have increased.
I think the conversation needs to be shifted back a little bit, because it's like, all right, you're saying, is Lonzo Ball a bust? First and foremost, it's Lonzo Ball's first season. And FIFA remembers, I was telling him, and I still believe that going back to that draft, that Markelle Fultz is going to be a better player. I see Lonzo Ball as going to be a pretty good player in this league. I think that his entire star was kind of catapulted, just like y'all have been saying and everyone has said, by his father. His father needed to make him a brand, because he knew that Lonzo's game was not going to speak for itself in his first years, or maybe his first couple years. We don't know. But I would like to point out that there are players like Jimmy Butler. There are players like Victor Oladipo. There are players like Derek Favors. There are so many players who come into this
Kawhi
league.
Leonard.
Kawhi, there's so many, like PG, we can go all the way. You could say that, actually, I'm not gonna say that because y'all would have my head, but it's fine. So we have a lot of players who come into this league and they look like, oh, wow, I thought you were gonna be better than this, or oh, what in the world is this? This is not what I signed up for when I drafted you. And then they go to a different team, or they just have to play through a first couple, 3 or 4 seasons. And then they finally pan out, like Gordon Hayward. Like Gordon Hayward was literally looked at by a lot of Jazz fans in his first couple years as a guy who they kind of got sold a bill of goods, in their opinion. And if you look at a lot of the commentary from Jazz commentators, they just saw raw talent. And we can go to players more recently, like Jaylen Brown, who Celtics fans who were screaming at the top of their lungs that, we think he's going to be something. We don't care if the shot is funky right now. We don't care if his IQ is kind of weird right now. If we get him in the offseason with this great coach and we fix that shot, he already has the base for a defense. And that's kind of the same thing that Lonzo Ball is going through, where I see defensive potential and versatility in Lonzo Ball because he has quick feet. He has good hands. He's a shot-blocking point guard. And those type of things always help. And if you look at a point guard who's trying to get everyone involved, trying to keep the ball moving, then that's good. That shot is going to fall eventually. I don't know if it's going to take him having to switch that, his like mechanics up or switch that form up. But the shot is going to fall eventually. And even if Lonzo Ball does not become this knockdown three-point shooter, the older you get in the NBA, the easier it is for you to get into the lane if you're quick. And you can look at Rajon Rondo for that. You can even look at guys on a lesser scale like Ish Smith. And Lonzo Ball, to me, is going to fit right in when the team that he's currently has finally gets set. Because we also have to be fair in the fact that a lot of these people that are on his team right now are not going to be the team that he has in 3 years. What does it look like for Lonzo Ball if a Paul George goes there next year? What does it look like for Lonzo Ball if they attract any marquee free agent? They draft one great two-way guy who ends up becoming like, their Kawhi type of person. What does it look like for him if you surround him with a bunch of shooters? So that way you have to give a one-on-one to Lonzo. He's going to like the rack. What does that look like? So I think we have to keep it in perspective that Lonzo Ball, it's his rookie season. His dad's a dickhead. We all know. But, it is what it is at this point. And there are signs of encouragement that you should see as a Lakers fan. But don't buy into the hype machine that everyone's saying, oh, he's going to be trash. Why can't Lonzo Ball just be a guy who goes into this league and at the prime of his career, why can't he be the dude who averages 15, 9, and 10? He can do that. And I would take that a lot over probably like 90% of what the NBA players prospect out to be. In terms of draft comparisons, if you told me Lonzo Ball could average 15, 9, and 10 or 15, 9, and 9 for his career, I'm taking that all day.
Well, yeah, that'd be good. But you know what? And I don't think it was just his dad, it was a lot of people, Q, that were hyping up Lonzo Ball almost close to the levels they were with Ben Simmons, but at least with. Ben Simmons, like when he stepped on the court, you could see it. Like, you may have one or two games with Lonzo that you could see it. And I just haven't seen it yet. I just haven't. I've seen it in other players more than I've seen with him. And I understand that.
Yeah, you're tripping. Lonzo had a whole stretch. He had like an 8-game stretch where he was just dominant.
8 games out of 57 that he played, or 52.
Ken, it's a stretch. It's all about showing another gear. The second half of the season for him was way better than the first half. And we can say that for all of the top rookies. Look at Josh Jackson. This man couldn't buy playing time. And all of a sudden, now he's getting it. He's starting to understand it. So you know what, Ken? You did the same thing to Cardi B, dog. You know what? I'm done. It's past 11 o'clock. It's past my bedtime, bro. Like you tripping.
Wouldn't you say that as a player and as a coach, that when your coach sees something in you and it's been like probably like what? Let's say like you're going a streak of 5 games where you flirt with a triple double each game. Your coach, if they see something in you, they know that I think he's able to sustain this for an entire season if they bump you up in playtime. So Lonzo Ball, the same logic applies there, that I think, you know, and obviously this is like a Skip Bayless thing, but for like damn near like 9 or 10 games, he had the best 3-point shooting percentage in the NBA.
Oh my!
This is the same thing. You know, I mean, dude, like that, as much as we all, you know, laugh at Skip or whatever, right? That actually is something, because as a coach, you look for the things within your players that could be sustainable. Now, obviously, being the best 3-point shooter in the NBA is probably far-fetched for Lonzo Ball. Right. But if you tell me that Lonzo can't be one of the top 10 3-point shooters in the NBA with his skill set, I think that you're underestimating not only Luke Walton as a coach, but you're underestimating the fact that maturation in the NBA comes by fire. And I think that we'll see Lonzo Ball's mentality of what he is as a player and the type of stuff that he's made of next year, instead of it just being this year. Like, he could be my man. Jaylen Brown, they said the same things about him. Oh, he can't shoot, or, you know, or he can't drive in the lane. He was very raw. He's very athletic. And now you see him in the NBA and he looks like he could develop into, I'm not going to say a Paul George-esque player, but something that's in that same mold of being a two-way guy. And I think we have to give Lonzo that credit there.
Jaylen Brown didn't have any hype. We always knew he was a prospect. And I feel like we're going to be saying he could potentially develop into something for the next 3 years. That's what it looks like. But I'll say this okay. We'll see. We got time. We'll see. But to your point about Josh Jackson, he did look like a bust early on, but he got better. And we saw what he could be. He had a real stretch where he was playing really, really well. And we're like, okay, the brother going to be all right. With Lonzo, we've had a whole season, and he had good games or a stretch of 8 games, and then there was the rest of the year. And that surrounded, that wasn't that 8-game stretch. Like, right after the 8-game stretch, he fell right back off again. So, I don't know. Maybe he was just hurt. We'll see. But I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, man, that's going to do it for us, man. We're going to get out of here because we can do this all night, going back and forth about the NBA. But thank you guys for listening. Rod just texted me if you guys made it this far. Cardi B is going up right now, so y'all go check that out.
It's already live.
It's already live. There you go.
Yeah,
go
check out Cardi B. I got the notification on my phone. Yeah, go check it.
You heard what FIFO just called me a hater, said I was hating on Cardi B. Go see what he's talking about. we're going to holler at you guys. Later on this week, actually, we're going to do the playoff thing. We're going to basically pick the winners of the first round and break down the playoffs for you guys once the field is set. So that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.